If I had been human, I would have laughed. Two Mian eyes before me. Neither trusted the other to hold this interview unsupervised, unobstructed. Neither knew the details of the destruction of Justice of Torin. Each, no doubt, suspected the other's involvement. I might be an instrument of either, neither trusting the other. Which was which? The Mian eye on the right said, "You've done a fairly decent job concealing your origin. It was Inspector Adjunct Kate who first made me suspect." "I haven't heard that song since I was a child," she'd said. That song that had obviously come from Shiserna. "I admit it took me an entire day to piece everything together, and even then I could hardly believe it. You hid your implants reasonably well. Station was completely deceived. But the humming would likely have given you away eventually, I imagine. Are you aware you do it almost constantly? I suspect you're making an effort not to do it now, which I do appreciate." Still face down on the floor, Savardin said in a small voice, "Breck?" "Not Breck," said the Mian eye on the left. "Justice of Torin." "Justice of Torin 1-esque," I corrected, dropping all pretense of a Gerontate accent or human expression. I was done pretending. It was terrifying because I knew I couldn't live long past this, but also oddly a relief, a weight gone. The right hand me and I gestured the obviousness of my statement. "Justice of Torin is destroyed," I said. Both me and I seemed to stop breathing, stared at me. Again, I might have laughed, if I were capable of it. "Begging my lord's indulgence," said Savardin from the floor, voice tentative. "Surely there's some mistake. Breck is human. She can't possibly be Justice of Torin 1-esque. I served in Justice of Torin's esque decade. No Justice of Torin medic would give 1-esque a body with a voice like Breck's. Not unless she wanted to seriously annoy the esque lieutenants."
Silence. Thick and heavy for 3 seconds. "She thinks I'm special missions," I said, breaking that silence. "I never told her I was. I never told her I was anything except Breck from the Gerontate, and she never believed that. I wanted to leave her where I found her, but I couldn't, and I don't know why. She was never one of my favorites." I knew that sounded insane. A particular sort of insane. An AI insanity. I didn't care. "She doesn't have anything to do with this." The right hand me and I lifted an eyebrow.
"Then why is she here?"
"No one could ignore her arrival here. Since I arrived with her, no one could ignore or conceal mine. And you already know why I couldn't just come straight to you." The slight twitch of a frown on the right hand me and I.
"Citizen Savardin Vendai," said the me and I on the left, "it is clear to me that Justice of Torin deceived you. You didn't know what it was. It would be best, I think, if you left now, without, of course, speaking of this to anyone else."
"No," breathed Savardin into the floor, as though she were asking a question, or as though she was surprised to hear the word come out of her mouth.
"No,"
she said again, more certainly.
"There's a mistake somewhere. Breck jumped off a bridge for me."
My hip hurt thinking of it. No sane human being would have done that.
"I never said you were sane," Savardin said quietly, sounding slightly choked. "Savardin Vendai," said the left hand me and I, "this ancillary, and it is an ancillary, isn't human. The fact you thought it was explains a good deal of your behavior that was unclear to me before. I'm sorry for its deception and your disappointment. But you need to leave now." begging my lord's indulgence.
Savardin still lay face down, speaking into the floor.
Whether you give it or not, I'm not leaving Breck.
Go away, Savardin, I said, expressionless.
Sorry,
she said, sounding almost blithe except her voice still shook slightly.
You're stuck with me.
I looked down at her. She turned her head to look up at me, her expression a mix of fear and determination. You don't know what you're doing, I told her. You don't understand what's happening here.
I don't need to.
Fair enough, said the Mianai on the right, seeming almost amused. The left-hand one seemed less so. I wondered why that was.
Explain yourself, Justice of Turin.
Here it was, the moment I had worked toward for 20 years, waited for, feared would never come. First, I said, as I'm sure you already suspect, you were aboard Justice of Turin, and it was you yourself who destroyed it. You breached the heat shield because you discovered you had already suborned me yourself some time previously. You're fighting yourself. At least two of you, maybe more. Both Mianais blinked and shifted their stances a fraction of a millimeter in a way I recognized. I'd seen myself do it in Oars when communications cut out. Another of those communications blocking boxes, part of an Andromianai at least, must have worried about what I might say, must have been waiting with her hand on the switch. I wondered how far the effect reached and which Mianai had triggered it, trying, too late, to hide my revelation from herself. Wondered what that must have been like, knowing that facing me this way could only lead to disaster, and yet obligated, by the nature of her struggle with herself, to do so. The thought amused me briefly. Second, I reached into my jacket, pulled out the gun, the dark gray of my glove bleeding into the white the weapon had taken from my shirt. I'm going to kill you. I aimed at the right-hand Mianai, who began to sing, in a slightly flat baritone, in a language dead for 10,000 years. The person, the person, the person with weapons. I couldn't move, couldn't squeeze the trigger.
You should be afraid of the person with weapons. You should be afraid. All around the cry goes out, put on armor made of iron. The person, the person with weapons. You should be afraid of the person with weapons. You should be afraid.
She shouldn't know that song. Why would an Andromianai ever go digging in forgotten Valskian archives? Why would she trouble to learn a song that very possibly no one but me had sung for longer than she had been alive?
Justice of Turin I-esque, said the right-hand Mianai. Shoot the instance of me to the left of the instance that's speaking to you.
Muscles moved without my willing them. I shifted my aim to the left and fired. The left-hand Mianai collapsed to the ground. The right-hand one said,
Now I just have to get to the docks before I do. And yes, Savardin, I know you're confused, but you were warned.
Where did you learn that song? I asked, still otherwise frozen.
From you, said an Andromianai. 100 years ago at Valskai.
This, then, was that Anander who had pushed reforms, begun dismantling Radchai ships. The one who had first visited me secretly at Valskai and laid down those orders I could sense but never see.
I asked you to teach me the song least likely to ever be sung by anyone else, and then I set it as an access and hid it from you. My enemy and I are far too evenly matched. The only advantage I have is what might occur to me when I'm apart from myself. And that day it occurred to me that I had never paid close enough attention to you. You, one-esque, to what you might be.
Something like you, I guessed, apart from myself. My arm still outstretched, gun aimed at the back wall.
Insurance, me and I corrected. An access I wouldn't think of looking for, to erase or invalidate. So very clever of me. And now it's blown up in my face. All of this, it seems, is happening because I paid attention to you in particular, and because I never paid any attention to you. I'm going to return control of your body to you, because it'll be more efficient, but you'll find you can't shoot me.
I lowered the gun. Which me?
What's blown up? Asked Savard, still on the floor. My lord, she added.
She split, I explained. It started at Garced. She was appalled by what she'd done, but she couldn't decide how to react. She's been secretly moving against herself ever since. The reforms, getting rid of ancillaries, stopping the annexations, opening up assignments to lower houses. She did all of that. And Ime was the other part of her, building up a base and resources to go to war against herself and put things back the way they had been. And the whole time, all of her has been pretending not to know it was happening, because as soon as she admitted it, the conflict would be in the open and unavoidable.
But you said it straight out to all of me, me and I acknowledged, because I couldn't exactly pretend the rest of me wasn't interested in Savard and Vendai's second return. Or what had happened to you. You showed up so publicly, so obviously, I couldn't hide it, and pretend it hadn't happened, and only talk to you myself. And now I can't ignore it anymore. Why would you do such a thing? It wasn't any order I ever gave you.
No, I agreed, it wasn't.
And surely you guessed what would happen if you did such a thing.
Yes. I could be my ancillary self again, unsmiling, no satisfaction in my voice. Anander considered me a moment and then made a humph sound, as though she'd reached some conclusion that surprised her.
Get up off the floor, citizen, she said to Savardin.
Savardin rose, brushing her trouser legs with one gloved hand.
Are you all right, Breck? Breck, interrupted me and I, before I could answer, stepping off the dais and striding past. Is the last remaining fragment of a grief-crazed AI, which has just managed to trigger a civil war.
She turned to me.
Is that what you wanted?
I haven't been crazed with grief for at least 10 years, I protested. And the civil war was going to happen anyway, sooner or later.
I was rather hoping to avoid the worst of it. If we're extremely fortunate, that war will only cause decades of chaos, and not tear the Rach apart completely. Come with me.
Ships can't do that anymore, insisted Savardin, walking beside me. You made them that way, my lord, so they didn't lose their minds when their captains died, like they used to, or follow their captains against you.
Me and I lifted an eyebrow.
Not exactly.
She found a panel on the wall by the door that had been previously invisible to me, yanked it open, and triggered the manual door switch.
They still get attached, still have favorites.
The door slid open.
One-esque, shoot the guard.
My arm swung up and I fired. The guard staggered back against the wall, reached for her own weapon, but slid to the floor and then lay still. Dead, because her armor retracted.
I couldn't take that away without making them useless to me, Anander, me and I continued, oblivious to the person,
The citizen she just ordered killed.